go. All right. Good evening, everybody. Excited for us to continue this study of idols, the modern day idols. And our study tonight's discussion is one of the more difficult idols, at least for me, to discuss and to think about. When Mark was talking about the different topics and the different lessons that we'd be discussing in this series, I thought, that'll be a good one to hear, something really good to think about and to kind of make me think and reflect on some things. And then I got asked to do it. And I kind of like Mike was joking about last week, I kind of wondered, hey, is this kind of like, you know, hey, we know you need to work on this a little bit, so study on it a little bit. I don't know. I think maybe there's some things going on like that. Maybe Mark's got some ulterior motives going on. Anyways, though, as we talk about the idol of knowledge tonight, we're talking about something that obviously can be a very good thing. Knowledge is a good thing. There's a lot of things that can be good things, but can become idols when we give them more importance than they're supposed to have. What's some of those things that can be very good things that come really quickly to mind? Good things, but they can become idols. Wealth, money, for sure. What else? Oh, I forgot they were all going to come at once. Okay, work. Work's a good thing, but it can become an idol. Time. Food, happiness, cars, health, family, all types of things are very good things. Gifts of God can be wonderful things, can be true blessings, but we don't put them in the right spot and they can become idols in our lives. And knowledge can be the same thing. And, you know, we've talked about different types of idols. It's really interesting to me. I think you could put just about anything people make idols on that list of things that can be very good things, but can also become an idol if people place more importance on them than they should. Even a golden calf. I mean, apparently, you go to Pier 1, you can buy this golden calf to hang on your wall for $99. I don't sell them. I don't make any commission off of them. But in the sake of, with the idea of knowledge, I just thought I'd share some knowledge. You know, you can have a golden calf hanging on your wall if you'd like. Stacy wasn't too excited about us getting one. But knowledge can be a very wonderful thing, but it can also become an idol, and that's what we want to talk about tonight. In laying some of our foundation and thinking about this a little bit, we're going to start by thinking about when knowledge can be bad. There are times when knowledge itself can be a bad thing. As we think about that, as we get our mind going in that direction, when would knowledge be a bad thing? Briefly, are there things, is there anything that God does not know? Yeah, he's omniscient. So is there anything that God does not know? He does not know sin. He doesn't know what it feels like to get high on cocaine or something else, does he? He doesn't know those types of things. He does not know those things that he chooses not to know. God knows everything that he desires to know. He knows everything that's his will to know. And so there are some things that God does not know because there are some things that are not worth knowing. There are types of knowledge that in and of themselves can be bad. Knowledge can be a bad thing. We go back to the Garden of Eden, we find the first example of this when knowledge was not a good thing. In Genesis 2, they were told if they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would die, but they would also gain the knowledge of good and evil. They would know what was right and wrong. God said, this is not something you need to know. And had they not eaten from that tree, they had one law, one rule, one thing not to do. They didn't know all of the pain that comes along with sin and temptation. They didn't know all those problems. There are times that knowledge is a bad thing. Okay, so we've already kind of hinted on, you know, knowledge of what sin feels like. That's a bad thing. God does not know what it feels like to sin. Knowing what it feels like to sin is a bad thing. So there's some knowledge that is not good. But there's also one other category of knowledge. I've kind of got these out of order. But another category of knowledge that can be bad is just the knowledge that leads to temptation. There are times when knowing something, learning something, will cause us to face more temptation. And the case in point would be David in 2 Samuel chapter 11. He learned some things. He gained some knowledge. First, it started as he walks on his rooftop and he sees Bathsheba and he learns what? She's pretty. He learns what she looks like naked, right? He gains some knowledge and temptation starts. But he didn't stop there, did he? Because the next thing he does is he invites her to the palace. Right? I'll take a step back. He asks who she is. He doesn't even know who she is at first, but he asks and he finds out who she is, and that temptation grows. Knowledge leading to temptation. And then he invites her to the palace and he finds out that she's open to adultery too. That knowledge just makes that temptation even worse. Knowledge that leads to temptation is knowledge that we don't need to know. Sometimes there are things that are not worth knowing. So knowledge can be a bad thing in and of itself. Knowledge of what it feels like to sin. At times that can be a motivation not to commit further sin because we know of the pain and the anguish that can come with sin. But at other times, knowledge of sin just helps us to build, or it causes temptation to grow within us. So knowledge can be bad. Of course, on the other side of things, knowledge can be very good. And there's a lot of passages that help us to see that knowledge is a good thing in many times. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 3 points out that the Lord is a God of knowledge. So knowledge is an attribute associated with God. Proverbs 18 verse 15, an intelligent heart acquires knowledge and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. So God intends that we would be people who do seek knowledge. And in 2 Peter 1 verses 5 through 8, within the list of the Christian virtues, we see knowledge mentioned as something that we are to add to our life and add to our virtue and faith. So God desires us to be people who build knowledge, who grow in knowledge, and if you notice the end of that passage, in doing so, it helps us to build in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to grow in knowledge. Knowledge can be a very good thing. Knowledge can be a bad thing at times. That leaves us with the big overall question that we want to look at tonight then is, when does knowledge become an idol? If we go back to the definition of an idol that I believe this is at least close to what Mark shared the first week. An idol is anything we place more importance upon than God places upon it. I know he was modifying somebody else's definition to try to bring it a little bit closer to what is accurate, and I think it's a good definition there. An idol is anything we place more importance upon than God has placed upon that item. And so as we think about knowledge, there's a lot of knowledge in the world, and there is some knowledge that is good. There is good knowledge, and I need to know these things. I need to know who God is. I need to know what he expects of me. I need to know certain things, and it's good to gain that type of knowledge. On the other end of the spectrum, there are some things, some types of knowledge that are bad knowledge. I should avoid learning these things. They are not worth knowing, right? But besides these two categories, really, they're the smaller of the categories. Because in reality, the bulk of knowledge that exists in the world is knowledge that can be good or bad. Knowledge that can be an idol, knowledge that can help me, knowledge that can hurt me, depending upon what I do with it. Most knowledge is not inherently good or bad. It's just knowledge. So then the question is, right there at the top, when does knowledge become an idol? Well, I'm going to break every rule in the preacher handbook. We're not going to have 3 points in a poem. We're going to have like 7 things. But, seven is the number of perfection, so I guess that's even better, right? The ways that knowledge can become an idol. In the first one of these, knowledge is an idol if I seek knowledge more than I seek God. I think that's kind of a given. That's kind of the easiest one probably in the list to think of. If I seek knowledge, if I seek knowing things, knowing even certain things, more than I seek God, more than I pursue God, then it has become my idol. Ecclesiastes 1, verses 13 and 14, Solomon writes this. He said, I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun. Behold, all is vanity and striving after wind. Solomon said, I gave myself to know things, to know everything I could know, to learn everything I could learn. He'll say later, I wanted to know what pleasure was, so I gave myself to enjoy everything, and there wasn't anything I would keep back from myself. He did everything he could to know what things were like, to know what it meant to experience things, to know as much as he could. He was more interested in gaining knowledge and knowing more and more and more than he was in pursuing God. And it led him, as we know, away from God. Matthew 22 and verse 37, on the other hand, shows us that God should be the focus of our life. He should be the one we pursue. He should be the one that we love with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. All of our strength, says in another place. That we give our whole to serving God and following God. So we have to consider, what is my aim? What is my target, so to speak, in life? What am I aiming at? Is God my target that I seek? Or is my target knowledge, intelligence, wisdom, being the person that has all the answers? If I am pursuing knowledge, intelligence, wisdom, education, if that's my pursuit more than God, then it has for certain become an idol. Okay, number two. Knowledge is an idol if it interferes with me fulfilling the responsibilities God has given to me. You know, God's told us to add knowledge to our Christian life. But if I allow that to keep me from fulfilling the other responsibilities that He gives to me, and I use it as an excuse so that I don't have to do other things, then perhaps I've made knowledge the idol. Consider the idea of Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 13. And in that passage, as you remember, Mark 7, Jesus talks about the, it's in the passage where they were condemning Jesus because He didn't keep the traditions of the elders. He didn't wash His hands like the elders said they should. He didn't keep all of those different traditions. And in that passage, Jesus reminds them of some of the laws that they were breaking by their traditions. And specifically, He mentions the idea of Corban. He says, you say... He says, God has said, honor your father and mother, but you say that, you know, you remember the passage, that if I say to my parents that what you might have gained from me is Corban, then I don't have to give it to them. Basically, they had this excuse, if I understand it correctly, that the Pharisees had of ways to get around the law, that if I have taken all of my disposable income, to put it in today's terms, if all of my disposable income has already been earmarked to give to God, then I don't have anything left that I could give to you, Mom and Dad, so I can't help you. He says, and by doing so, you have made a way around the law of God. Now, is giving to God a good thing? Okay, yeah, right. See some heads going up and down. Pretty easy question, right? Yes, giving to God is a good thing. Is it an acceptable excuse not to help one's family? No, Jesus specifically is showing that here. You know, that we cannot take one thing that is good and use it as an excuse to not have to do the other things that God expects of us. So let's apply that back to knowledge. You know, if knowledge is a good thing, but what responsibilities that God has given to me might it at times interfere with me fulfilling? Or to say it differently, the pursuit of knowledge, the pursuit of education, the pursuit of learning more, what might some people use that as an excuse to keep them from doing everything God has said? What might it interfere with? Okay, worship. Yeah. You know, I have to stay up all night studying. I got to study all weekend. You know, it's easy to aim at college students. I mean, it just is, right? I got to study all weekend. I just can't worship because I've got to get ready for the test. It's finals week, right? Okay. What else could it be an excuse to keep that stops us from doing what God has told us to do? Right. Providing for a family. I've got to learn. I've got to, know this. I've got to find out more. What else? Providing for family, assembling, worshiping. Evangelism, yeah. Great example. Keep me from evangelizing and teaching others about God because I'm learning. You know, think about the, maybe the simple way we slip into that one, I don't know enough yet to teach people. Okay, well, Am I learning more so that I can teach people, or is this just my excuse? You know, I've got, you know, you got to have enough knowledge to do it. I don't know. Bearing burdens, Galatians 6 and verse 2. You know, point being, you know, studying 2 Timothy 2 and 15. We could list any, I think just about any responsibility God gives us. If we allow our pursuit of knowledge to interfere with the responsibility God gives to us, then we are elevating the pursuit of knowledge above God's will, really. And in doing so, we have allowed it to become an idol. We have given it more importance than God places upon it. In the movie The Matrix, go with me for a second. In the movie The Matrix, Keanu Reeves' character is plugged up to a computer. A lot of times, you know, I mean, it's the whole premise of the movie, right? But in one particular clip, when he's plugged back up to the Matrix, they load a program, and for 15 seconds, you see the computer flashing all this karate-type stuff, and he's just kind of sitting there shaking, and then it stops, and he says, "I know Kung Fu." In 15 seconds, he learned how to master Kung Fu, and he's a master Kung Fu artist at that point. Just because, you know, if gaining knowledge was that simple, then there'd be a lot more knowledgeable people around us in the world, right? Gaining knowledge, learning, education takes time. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot out of us, and it is a considerable investment of time. Because of that, because of how much it takes to learn things and how much it takes to grow in knowledge, this point, I believe, becomes very valid. That if I allow it to interfere with me fulfilling the other responsibilities God's given me, I've allowed knowledge to become an idol. Number three, knowledge is an idol if it is what gives my life purpose and meaning. If when I consider what gives me purpose, what is my purpose in life, if my purpose is to learn, to know more, maybe I need to dig a little deeper. Maybe I need to do a little bit of soul searching there. Romans 12 and verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Point being, we're not to allow the world to shape us. We're instead to be changed to be like God. That means then that things that are in this world are not to be our focus. They're not to be our all. They're not to be our purpose, our meaning in life. And knowledge fits within that category then. Our purpose in life is to serve God. Our purpose in life is to be like Him. Our purpose in life is to get to heaven and take as many as we can with us. You know, to seek and save the lost, Jesus said was His purpose. Our purpose is to follow God, not to just grow in knowledge. You know, education, knowledge, intelligence, they're all great things, but they don't give our life purpose. They don't give our life meaning. They cannot be our all in life. When we make learning and knowledge and intelligence our purpose and meaning of life, I think we are in a very dangerous position of being like the people of 2 Timothy 3, verse 7, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. If knowledge is my purpose in life, if that's what I give myself to, I'll find that there's never an end in it. That's what Solomon figured out finally. There was never going to be an end of learning more, of knowing more, of trying to figure out more things. There was always going to be something out there that somebody else knew much more about than Solomon. Now, he may have had more knowledge than anybody, any other one person, but there will always be something out there that he knows less about than anybody else, or certain other people, I mean. There's never an end to pursuing knowledge. It's kind of like money. There's always more money, right? And what's the saying? It doesn't matter how much you make, it's still not enough, it seems like, right? Knowledge is the same. The more we pursue it, the more we find that it's getting away, if nothing else, Ecclesiastes 12 and 12, because there's no end to making of books. You know, Solomon said it in his day. So, I wonder how many new books are created and published every single day today, especially in a day and age where you can self-publish books. How many new websites are published in a single day? The idea that we would ever be able to learn at all, it's impossible. So if that's what gives my life purpose and meaning, I find myself chasing after something I can never catch. It should not be what gives my life purpose and meaning. On my grandmother's wall, she had a little wall hanging that I really liked. I've ended up with it. It said, "Today God lent us a soul. Tomorrow we must return it prepared for eternity." Our goal, our purpose, what gives our life purpose and meaning ought to be the view of the judgment day. What gives our life purpose and meaning should be God and a relationship with Him. What gives our life purpose and meaning should be spending eternity with God, not knowing more about this life and this world. And 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 and Matthew 25 and many other passages help us to see that. So knowledge is an idol if it is what gives my life purpose and meaning. But then we move on. Number four, knowledge is an idol if it feeds my boasting and pride. If that's the reason for me pursuing knowledge is to build myself up, to boast and be prideful about how great I am, then it has become an idol. Let's remember James 4 and verse 6, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. We know from Proverbs, pride goes before destruction. God wants us to be people of humility, not people of pride. And yet many people allow knowledge to be something that puffs up and causes a lot of pride. In Job 36 and verse 4, we have a great example of that. Elihu, the younger one, you know, Job and his three friends, but we always don't forget about Elihu, you know, because he's the one that's perfect in knowledge. He's the one that's more wise than all the others that were listening there. At least that's what he said. That's what he thought. I think a little bit of knowledge had puffed him up. You know, the question ought to be here, do I boast about my intelligence? Do I consider my intelligence, my knowledge, my education to make me better than others who are around me? In Psalm 119, verse 99, it says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. You know, ignore the last part of that because that's the only thing that can make, the thing that makes this part true, right? If we are following God's testimonies, if that is what we follow, then and our teachers don't, then for sure we have become wiser than our teachers. That's, I think, the point of the verse. But you know, there's not a child or maybe we should say a teenager out there that doesn't believe at some point that they know more than mom and dad, right? You know, I think probably most of us, if we're honest, when we were students, we sometimes felt like we sure knew more than the teacher, right? You know, knowledge sometimes begins to cause us to be puffed up a little bit, to think we know more. And the only way we might truly know more is if we're, as the verse says, following the knowledge of God. Romans 12 and verse 3 says, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. I think that's the point here. As we build in our knowledge, as we grow in knowledge, is to not think better of ourselves than we ought to think. On a personal note, soon after finishing the master's degree in counseling, I remember one day, I've shared this story multiple times because it's a humbling story. I remember one day being in the counseling agency I was working at, and I don't know why, but something went through my mind. I just recently finished, just within the past few weeks, and that went through my mind. I started feeling a little bit prideful. I was thinking, man, I've got a master's degree. You know, there's not, you know, a lot of people in the world, they don't have a master's degree. I've accomplished something. And then it kind of hit me. I don't know, you know, just as quick as that thought came the next one that said, yeah, pretty much everybody here has at least a master's degree. Plus, they've got a lot more experience than you do. And it was, you know, that pride went up and suddenly just came crashing right back down and say, oh, yeah, I'm nothing special just because I've done this. This pride and intelligence, is that what feeds our boasting? Is that what we, you know, is intelligence and knowledge something that we seek because it makes me proud of who I am and how much I know and how better, much better I am than everybody around me? At that point, maybe we've allowed knowledge to become an idol. All right, number five. Knowledge is an idol if it is the sole basis of my relationship with God. If it's the sole basis of my relationship with God, what is required, briefly, to have a relationship, a healthy relationship with God? What things have to be in place? Okay, definitely belief, faith. Okay, discipleship. Okay, communication, two-way, right? Okay, definitely. Also some humility there, right? Is knowledge involved? You can do this, right? Yeah, knowledge is involved. We have to, what is it? You have to know God, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, right? We have to know who God is. We have to believe in God. But that's not it. That's not all there is. We have to know God. We have to submit to him. We have to obey him. We have to be humble before him. We have to bear fruit. We have to teach others. There's so much that is involved in having the healthy relationship with God. You know, there was a group of people that seemed to feel that knowledge, that because they knew God's will and they knew his law, that that was it. And that's what they focused their whole relationship on God about. They kind of felt like that was the sole basis of their relationship. What do we call that group of people? What did they call themselves? Huh? The Pharisees, right? That they trusted in that knowledge. You know, Paul would say in Romans 10, verses 1 and 2, that Israel had zeal, but not according to knowledge. Kind of a twist there. They felt so much like they had the right relationship with God because of their knowledge, because of what they knew about God. And he says they don't really, it's not really based on knowledge because they don't know the truth. Knowledge itself is necessary, but not sufficient, right? In James 1 and verse 22, we're told to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Knowledge without application will not save us any more than it will the demons that James writes about, right? That believe and tremble. As we've mentioned already, I didn't read it, but we put it up there already. 2 Peter 1 verses 5 through 8, the Christian virtues. Knowledge is in there, but it's just part of what we must do and growing in that relationship with God. If I look at knowledge and that makes me feel like I'm okay because I know God's word, and I know it in and out, and I can quote it. If knowledge is the sole basis, knows the sole basis of my relationship with God, then I may have made knowledge my idol, as I'm elevating it even higher than actually having the right relationship with God. Number six, then. Knowledge is an idol if I trust my knowledge over the wisdom of God. This kind of goes somewhat hand in hand with the knowledge feeding our boasting and pride, because often the more we feed that boasting and pride and knowledge, what happens is we begin to trust how much we know instead of trusting God's commands. But sometimes this can happen even without us having a lot of pride in it. Mark 7 and verse 8 is going back to that same context of where we mentioned earlier of Corbin. But in that passage, Jesus says, "You leave the commandment of God and hold the tradition of men." They had allowed their traditions to become more important, what they knew, their traditions, to become more important than the actual knowledge of God. They had forgotten that God's thoughts and ways are higher than our thoughts and ways, and were instead trusting what they knew, where they thought they knew better. Mark 8, verses 31 through 33, we see Jesus rebuking Peter for knowing better. In that context, Jesus, it says, had been teaching about that they were going to go to Jerusalem and that he would be crucified and he would die and he'd be buried and he would raise again. Peter said, "Not so, Lord. This isn't going to happen to you." It's one of those well-known verses where Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." You know, Peter was rebuked for knowing better than Jesus, basically. What are some times where we don't like to say we, right? What are some times where we or other religious people maybe trust their own knowledge over the wisdom of God? Okay, yeah. Just the existence of the world, the existence of all things. Trust what we seem to know from the evidence, so to speak. Ignoring certain evidence, right? Okay, but yeah. Where did things come from? Creation of the world. What else? Okay, so sometimes we feel like we know better than God where somebody's eternal destination should be. Okay? What else? Yeah, how we should worship God. It was on my list, John 4:24. How we should worship God. A lot of people trust their knowledge about what they know and what they feel rather than what God has said, "This is what I want." What else? Yeah. We got it all figured out before we even go to him, right? All he's got to do is just say, "Oh, okay, that's what you want. I'll give it to you." He knew before we asked what we wanted, right? Okay, so great example. Okay, a lot of times we do assume we know better than they do, right? It's easy to give advice. This is what you, let me tell you what you need to do, Doug. All right, you got a new baby. Let me tell you, this is what you need to do. Stop right there. I'm getting the look from Christy. I'll stop right there. Okay. Right, definitely. Right, many people seem to think we know more than God about things, you know, evolution, creation, you know, how to worship God, how we're saved from our sins. A lot of people in the religious world, they know what we need to do. It's not the wisdom of God, and they're trusting their own knowledge over God. Then I put this one on the list. Maybe we're not completely immune from this problem. Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17, how to deal with sins and problems between us and other Christians. I'll say it and then I'll move on, okay? I won't beat it up. It seems to me that there would be a whole lot more of going to people if we really believed that God knew better than we did how to fix problems between people. There'd be a whole lot more said directly instead of said to so-and-so and the rumors going around if we really believed and trusted God's wisdom over our own knowledge. When we seem to know better than what God knows, maybe we've made our own knowledge into somewhat of an idol. And then number 7, knowledge is an idol. Before I put it up there real quick. Two short questions kids ask that get so annoying and can be asked over and over and over. Are we there yet? Why? Why? Because you can answer the question why, and what's the next thing? Why? So you answer that, and the next thing is why? Yeah, eventually it's because I said so, right? Just leave it alone, right? Okay, but why? Knowledge is an idol if I am not satisfied with not knowing. Knowledge can become my idol if I can't accept just not knowing something. Sometimes we like that child that just isn't satisfied with the answer and has to know right now, and I have to know, you have to tell me. Sometimes we're no better than the child. As children of God, sometimes we do the same thing. Why, God? Why? I want to know. To give me the answer. Explain it to me. Tell me. And sometimes we do it not just with God, but with life in general. I have to know. I can't stand not knowing. If knowing is that important to me, that I have to know all things, and I can't stand not being the most intelligent person in the room. I can't stand not knowing more about whatever the topic is than everybody else talking in the conversation. Maybe knowledge itself has become my idol, that I have to be the one who knows. I have to be the one with the answers, and that's what's most important to me. Let's remember, when we think about it with God, Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 again, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. God's thoughts and ways are much higher than ours, and there are so many things that we will not be able to understand. It's part of what God is telling us there. You know, Job wondered why, and instead of an answer, we get that four chapters of question after question after question. Job, you want answers? Why don't you give me an answer? Why don't you explain something here? Questions that he had no way of knowing or explaining or understanding to make the point that we cannot know everything. We cannot always have the answers. And we cannot begin to understand everything in the presence of God. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and how inscrutable are His ways. Am I satisfied with not being the smartest, not knowing everything, not having all the answers? Am I satisfied with not getting the questions or the explanation for the hardest situations of life? When bad things happen, can I accept not knowing why? In life, am I satisfied with not knowing? Because if I always have to know, I always have to be the one who knows the information, then maybe knowledge itself has become my idol. Knowledge is an idol. If I seek knowledge more than I seek God, if it distracts me from fulfilling the other responsibilities He gives me, if it is what gives my life purpose and meaning. Knowledge is an idol if it feeds my boasting and pride. If it is the sole basis of my relationship with God, if I trust my knowledge over the wisdom of God, or if I am not satisfied with not knowing. In a community that values learning, knowledge, and intelligence, let's be certain to remember that knowledge can be my idol if I make it more important to me than God has said it really is. Let's remember that there are some things that are worth not knowing. And there are many more that really don't matter whether I know them or not. Let's remember that those who make knowledge their idol, just like any other idol, must repent, refocus our lives, and on knowing, serving, and obeying God. And let's remember that we have that opportunity every time we meet together. As a community that values information, knowledge, wisdom, education, understanding, let's remember that knowing and obeying God is more important than knowledge for the sake of knowledge. In John 17, verse 3, Jesus prayed, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." Knowing God, obeying God, and submitting to God, being adopted by God, and serving God daily is more important, much more important than anything else that we can know or begin to understand. And it's really, in all truth, it's more important than everything else we know combined. 1 John 5 and verse 13, then, we want to think about knowing things. John says, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Now, there's one thing that longs in that circle we were talking about earlier, things I ought to know, things I need to know, things that are good to know, knowledge that I should pursue, to know that I have eternal life. And so that's where we end tonight. Let's not make knowledge our idol, but let's do pursue God much more than we do any type of knowledge. And in doing so, do you know that you have eternal life? If not, and if you're in doubt, if we can help you in any other way, then come forward while we sing.